The account of the healing of the two lepers is, I think, not well understood. This story is reduced to merely a moral instruction to be generally thankful. Might be used at the time of our celebration of Thanksgiving to tell us that we should be thankful for the things and gifts that God gives us. And true, we know that man in his fallen nature does not honor God as he ought to, does not give praise, does not give thanksgiving to God. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, we read, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him." So we know that it's right for us to give thanks to God, to honor him by giving thanks. Truly, a thankless attitude towards God leads to even greater sin. So I do not want to diminish the importance of being thankful towards God in everything, because giving thanks to God is vitally important. And to be certain, this man who has been cleansed, who has been healed of his leprosy, does exhibit a right spirit of thankfulness to God. Having said this, we need to understand that there is much more going on in this story, much going on here than we might at first glance think about. So as we look at this passage, we try to understand the story, I want to show you a deeper understanding of what is to be understood here. And to do this, I must take you back in time. I need to take you back at least 2,000 years and maybe much more than that to help us understand the context of what is going on. We need to go back to the time of Christ when this event took place, and indeed even back to the time of the giving of the law under Moses. Earlier I read from the book of Leviticus, and much of Leviticus deals with how man is to come before a holy God, how man is to worship the true God. The sacrificial system is spelled out in great detail, and much of it is very foreign to our understanding. In the case of one who has been healed of leprosy, we have special instructions that are given. Two full chapters are given to us to tell us, to instruct us as to what is to be done to restore one who has been cured of leprosy, how he is to be restored to his family, to his community, and to fellowship with God, particularly tabernacle or temple worship. Purity is at the heart of these instructions. Those with leprosy are pronounced, have been pronounced as unclean, and thus they are not able to worship. They are excluded from much of the Old Testament life of the community. So as I read that portion, that passage from Leviticus chapter 14, you probably thought that the instructions were a bit complicated. The ritual, the things that are required certainly seem strange to our modern ears. But the Jews at the time of Jesus, the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, this would be very familiar with them. They would certainly understand these instructions, what was commanded. They would have far better connection with them than we do. Such ceremonies and sacrifices at the temple worship were part and parcel of everyday life for the Jew in that community 2,000 years ago and back to the time of Moses, back to the tabernacle. This worship system was well known. But for us today, it is different. It's a very foreign, very different world. Merely reading the book of Leviticus presents challenges to modern man, to our understanding. So if we are to understand the cleansing of the 10 lepers in the Gospel of Luke more fully than just a casual reading, we need to be able to step back in time and try to understand what is going on in the book of Leviticus, which gives the instruction, makes the connection with what Jesus is doing. So back to Leviticus chapter 14. And we need to think about the culture and the historical context of what takes place in Luke's gospel. And the first question you might ask is, what exactly is leprosy? Well, it turns out that leprosy is not merely one specific disease. There are several conditions which in the days of the Old Testament, back in those times, that could be identified as leprosy. But particularly there is a version of leprosy which would be very prominent back in the day, which was extremely contagious. And so if you have a disease which is extremely contagious, you need to deal with it in some way. And so we have an understanding, I think, about what it means for something to be extremely contagious as we've lived through the so-called COVID pandemic. We have a little idea about dealing with contagious diseases. So if you want to understand the medical literature on the subject of leprosy, you can do a simple Google search, not now, or go to the World Health Organization, and they have several pages, quite a few pages, on the subject, because leprosy still exists. These very diseases that were in existence at the time of Jesus and all the way back to the time of Moses are still present with us. But what is leprosy? To put it into one sentence, today it's called Hansen's disease. Hansen's disease is an infection caused by a slow-growing bacteria called Mycobacterium leprosarium. It can affect the nervous system, the skin, the eyes, the lining of the nose, the mucous membrane. And so it can be a very serious disease, and its effect, particularly on the nervous system, is such that the nervous system stops working properly and you lose the sense of touch in your hands or your extremities on your body. You could cut yourself or burn yourself and you wouldn't feel any pain. You wouldn't realize it. And so you can have wounds that go untreated. And back in the day, without antibiotics and ways to care for open wounds, they would become severely infected. And because it's highly contagious, it can spread to the community. So we understand a little bit about the need for isolation, for quarantine. So it had very significant physical debilitating effects, very serious effects on those who had leprosy. Today we have modern medicine that can go a long way towards healing of the infection, but to be certain, leprosy is still very present in some communities, particularly in the third world countries, where they don't have as good medical treatment as is found here. Leprosy can be highly contagious, and for that reason, in Leviticus 13, we read that once a person has been found to be infected with certain prohibitions, certain conditions are enacted, particularly a very harsh quarantine is pronounced on that individual. So we look in Leviticus chapter 13. It is the priest who is to examine the individual to determine, is this leprosy? And so picking up in verse 43 of Leviticus 13, then the priest shall examine him, and if the disease swelling is reddish white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, like the appearance of leprosy, leprous disease in the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest must pronounce him unclean. His disease is on his head. So an examination by the priest of someone who's suspected to be leprous, the priest is the medical expert of the time. He looks at this person, and if he sees what is believed to be leprosy, the priest will pronounce this person unclean. This is a devastating pronouncement. Going on in verse 45, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. What happens if you are pronounced to have leprosy? You are pushed out of the community. You're pushed out from your family. You're pushed out from your friends. You're pushed out from your employment. And you're no longer able to partake in those normal things of the daily life. You are further pronounced unclean. You are not able to participate in the worship of the tabernacle or the temple. The leprous is excluded from normal community life and most significantly from the temple, which is the all important aspects of the life for the Jew. It revolved around the tabernacle, or with the construction of the temple, it revolved around the temple. But the leprous one is excluded from that. To be diagnosed with leprosy was a very significant event. Leprosy was not merely to be understood or to be considered as a medical condition, though. It's a medical condition, it's a highly contagious one, and it has to be dealt with as such. But there is also a larger spiritual consideration. Leprosy and its effects on the body are seen as emblematic of the specs of sin in one's spiritual life. And so we need to make a connection here that the man is pronounced unclean. Yes, he's contagious, he has a contagious disease, but because of that, he's unclean, he's excluded from spiritual life of the community. One of the ancient or older commentators has made this connection very, very plainly. And he's not even an evangelical scholar, but he's studied the ancient customs. He has a good understanding of the ancient community, how they function. And they write this: as leprosy, regarded as a decomposition of the vital juices, and as putrefaction in a living body, was an image of death, and like this, introduced the same dissolution and destruction of life into the corporal sphere with sin, which sin introduced into the spiritual sphere. For this very reason, the lepers was not only excluded from the fellowship of the sanctuary, but cut off from intercourse with the covenant nation. So understand the devastating thing that happens when you are pronounced as one who has leprosy. You are cut off from all normal contact with people, from all normal life, from all the things that we take for, you're just cut off. It's you might as well be quarantined to a room in a building and not able to leave. But here they actually are put out of the community, forced to live outside the community. So as we read what is specified in Leviticus 14, the process by which a man can be restored to his community and then to partake in the temple worship once again was a two-step process. A two-step procedure is necessary. So this procedure is not one that cures the man or eliminates the disease. It's a procedure that's followed once it's been seen by the priest, determined by the priest, that he has been cured. So this is not curative, but this is restorative to the community life. So when we read in chapter 14, those first 20 verses, this is not making the person healthy again physically, but it's restoring them to participation in the life of community, family and work and all that, and temple worship that he had previously been excluded from. So the first thing we notice is upon examination by the priest, if the leprous has been cured, we see the ritual with the two birds, the cedar wood, the scarlet thread, and the hyssop. And it's very difficult to say exactly what's going on because, well, cedar wood comes in several different forms if you lived in that region of the world. There's several different cedar woods. There are different birds. It just tells us that they must be clean birds. It doesn't specify more than that. It doesn't tell us this scarlet thread is really our interpretation of the word that's there in the Hebrew. It might mean a red wool, or it might be a cord, a thread. And then the hyssop. Hyssop is well known, but there's a whole variety of different types of hyssop. We remember in Exodus when they are told to kill a lamb at the Passover and dip a piece of hyssop in that and then spread the blood over the doorpost of the house. So we look at this and it's very foreign to us, and it's now thousands of years distance to us. But the image is very plain and it's very much agreed upon. The image is of a man who was dead to the life of the community. Dead to the life of the community, treated as just totally banished from the community, but is now restored to full freedom of movement within the community. So as the live bird is dead, dipped in the blood of the dead bird and then set free, it's showing the now the new freedom of movement, the new life that this person has gone. And one commentator comments, you know, we wonder why must they shave the body? But this, the shaved body would look like the newborn infant who's got new life. So there's this first stage that takes place, which is to show new life, where one was virtually dead to their community, treated as utterly outside of all sorts of normal human fellowship, is now brought back into that sphere. But then there's a second aspect with the sacrifices that we read about. Second are the offering of sacrifices, a guilt offering, a sin offering, and a burnt offering. You will notice striking similarities to the consecration of the priest. If we look in other parts of Leviticus, we see those things that were done to the Leviticus priest to consecrate them for service in a temple. There's striking similarities between what is taking here, particularly the blood that's placed on the right ear and the right thumb and the right toe on the sprinkling that take place there. So we see that there's this process which is now meant to restore the one to temple worship. Through a man who was once unclean and banished from the covenant community, he is now restored to his family, friends, community life, and to fellowship with his God. So as Jesus is encountered by these 10 lepers, we need to understand their desperate condition. They have been thrust out of the community. They are living outside of normal sphere of life. They no longer have contact with their family, with their friends, with their former employment. That's all gone. They're like dead to that. And they are excluded necessarily from the temple life. They are not able to worship God. So they have been cut off from all normal community life, banished into what would be a permanent state of quarantine if they are not healed. But more, they are cut off from temple worship. The very heart of Jewish life, the temple, is no longer accessible to them. They are outcasts. They are unclean. I spent all this time on the background to this event, which is recorded by Luke, to help us, you know, grasp the reality, the depth of the difficulty, the horrible situation that these 10 lepers are in. They are just totally ostracized, excluded from this. So this miracle of healing, its consequences of this miracle, it's very significant. It's not simply that Jesus says, oh, be clean, and boom, boom, done, and nothing more. It's the fact that they are going to be able to re-enter life, to be born again, as it were, into a new life. So it's of epic significance. One who has was formerly dead is now alive. And so what we really see here is that Jesus, who has come into this world, is reversing the curse in just a small way here in these lepers, but it's a very significant thing. Jesus is able to reverse the curse, to restore one to health and to restore one to temple life. So I want to just work through the passage in Luke and try to help us now make the connections with what's going on in Leviticus, what's commanded, and what takes place here when the Lord Jesus encounters these men. So we read in verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he, that is Jesus, the Lord Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We see that leprosy affects every aspect of life. It also becomes debilitating to the human body. In fact, it says they lifted up their voices. Leprosy affects the vocal cords, affects your ability to speak. And so it would be a very raspy, very harsh sound coming from these lepers. They would barely be able to truly cry out, certainly not in a loud voice, to the Lord Jesus. But they cry out to him, Master, showing the great respect for the Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It says Jesus is traveling toward Jerusalem, one of his many trips to Jerusalem, with his disciples as he enters a unidentified and unnamed city. And it says he's passing through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And the reason for that is Jesus has been rejected at a Samaritan city. And so he's been forced to go to the other side of the Jordan, the Transjordan. You go down that for a ways, and then he can cross back over when he gets towards Jericho. So Jesus is going between Samaria and between Galilee. And of course, remember, Samaria is this region where the 10 tribes who had rebelled against God were taken into captivity. Some of them were left behind. Others were foreigners were brought into the community. There was intermarriage. And so the Samaritans were in a very disagreeable position relative to the Jewish people. So Jesus is traveling through this Transjordan region. He comes to this unidentified village, and there he encounters the lepers. The lepers are excluded, ostracized, unclean, and they live outside the village. They have one thing in common. These 10 lepers all have leprosy, and so they no longer have to fear contaminating one another. They're living together in a pretty miserable experience. If you can imagine what it must be like to be, you know, affected with this disease, which is, you know, slowly destroying their bodies. They're impoverished. They're outsiders. They're very much alone. They cry out to Jesus. We don't know exactly what they might know about Jesus, but word of him had, by this time, late in his ministry, has spread. So people know that he's worked many miracles. They know he's done wondrous things. And these lepers might even know one of the early miracles of Jesus back in chapter 5 of Luke, where he healed another leper. And we go back to Luke chapter 5, verse 12, we would read this. While he was in one of the cities, again an unidentified city, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one. But Jesus said to him, "Go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them." So here we go back to the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Here he encounters one man who has leprosy. That man begs Jesus for cleansing, for healing, and Jesus responds and says, "I will be clean." And here Jesus actually touches the man, which would be a thing that would normally be forbidden or not thought well of. But Jesus tells him, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Why? Jesus is saying, Leviticus, the laws of Leviticus 14, they're still there. They're still important. You need to observe those. Keep the law as it was given to Moses. And so this takes place, and we return to our story. Verse 14, when Jesus saw that, he saw the 10, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. So Jesus hears the cry of these men through their raspy, wretched voice, their wretched life, very evident of, their wounds, gangrene smells. They would be a very unpleasant sight, these 10 men, very wretched condition. And Jesus sees them. He says, "Go, show yourself to the priest." So he's saying, Leviticus, it's still there. You still got to do what the commandment of Moses is. And so they turn to go and present themselves to the priest. Now, it says they were cleansed as they went. So as they obeyed Jesus, as they began to go to the priest, they realized they were cleansed. Jesus sees the 10 and he responds to their cry for mercy. He doesn't touch them. He doesn't approach them in this story. But he does say, "Go show yourself to the priest." This commandment is there in Leviticus. It's still true. Do this. And so these men now set off to go to the priest and to do these two things that are required on Leviticus. The first set, with the birds and that ceremony, because they have been cleansed, they are now going to go and do these things and be accepted, be brought back into communal life, and ultimately to temple worship. Verse 15, then one of them, who when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. One of these 10 turns back to Jesus. He heads back to him. He falls before Jesus. He falls on his face. He's giving thanks. He's praising God with a loud voice. He did not have a loud voice before he was healed. It would have been a weak, raspy voice. But we see verse 16. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And then Luke writes this comment. He says, now he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan. He was one who is not accepted by the Jews, but because they all had this one thing in common, they were all in desperate situation because of this leprosy, they would be able to hang together. But now, this one who is a Samaritan, he is the one, surprisingly, who responds to Jesus with worship, with the giving of thanks, falling on his face. And so when this happens, Jesus responds to the situation. And the question, he asks three questions, and they're sort of not just directed at the one who's returned, but to his disciples, to all who are there, who are listening. Jesus answered and said, "Were not 10 cleansed?" Well, the formation of the question demands a positive answer. Yes. 10 were cleansed. Where are they now? Where are those 9 who were cleansed. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? The foreigner, the one who is, even when he's healthy, is kept at arm's distance from the Jewish community. This one who is a Samaritan, this one called a foreigner, one from another nation, he's pushed off. Well, he's the one who comes to Jesus. He's the one who falls on his face. He's the one who offers worship. So these three questions, were not ten cleansed? The answer is yes. Where are the nine? They're on their way. They're healed, and they've immediately forgotten the difficulty of the situation, and they think they're all good to go. Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? This foreigner, this Samaritan. Well, what ingratitude is displayed by the nine? They were in a truly wretched condition, but will not offer praise, honor, and thanksgiving due to the author of life. These nine were healed from an absolutely wretched, horrid condition. And they go their way. No offering of thanksgiving. The nine did not realize that their gross ingratitude, they've been left in a physically healed condition. They'll go through the ritual, but they've been left with only temporal cleansing. Only cleansing for this life. But Jesus now in verse 19 specifically turns to the one who has returned to him. And he said to him, to this Samaritan, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. This very sentence construction is found many other places in the Gospels. And the word well there comes from the root word sozo, the Greek word sozo, which can mean to be healed, but it also has a significant usage to be saved. And so frequently in our English translations, the writers will say, "Your faith has made you well." But the word sozo there, and in the context, we understand what the Lord is saying. Your faith has saved you. You are saved. And we see many places where that word is used in Scripture very specifically in that manner. We look at blind Bartimaeus. Jesus says to him, "Your faith has made you well." But it's clear from the context that your faith has saved you. Sozo, this word of salvation. And so we see that for this man who was in horrid, wretched condition, utterly outcast, utterly considered unclean, driven from temple worship, driven from worship to God, has had this incredible reversal where he's now received into the community, but he's also received by his God. He has been told, "You are saved. Your faith has made you well, spiritually well." So as we began this morning with this message, I said that leprosy was not merely to be considered as a medical condition. There is a larger spiritual consideration. Leprosy and its effects on the body also are seen as emblematic of the effects of sin in life. Commentators are quick to make this point that this disease, which grows slowly in the body but destroys, ultimately brings one to utter ruination, is like sin that can grow slowly but ultimately, unchecked, uncorrected, leads us to utter ruination. Leprosy, as a physical, a medical condition, is illustrative of the effect of sin. The separation, the quarantine, the unperceived destruction through the working of the destroying of the nerves, the sensitivity to its effects, is like unto sin. As leprosy causes the person to be insensitive to the dangers of fire or knives or wounds, so sin causes ultimately one to be very insensitive to what is right. Sin results in the destruction of human relations among family, friends, and communities, just as leprosy does. But sin most significantly has resulted in man's banishment from God. Man is driven from God because of his sin, and it's necessary that God reach out to man, that God be the one who can change this. But we see that God does do that. God has provided a way for this one who is sinful, who is consumed by his sin, as a leper is consumed by leprosy. God has made a way for him to be restored. And the very Lord Jesus, who healed this poor leprous man of his disease, has made a way to restore fellowship with God. Jesus entered our world, a world filled with sin and the consequences of sin. He lived a perfect, sinless life and gave his life on the cross as a ransom to redeem us from our sin and ultimately to banish all diseases. Leprosy destroyed life. Sin also destroys life. But Jesus has brought healing and new life for all who will abandon all hope in themselves and trust him alone for cleansing from sin. So I ask this question: have you received the cleansing from all your ills, from all your sins? Then, like this one out of ten, this one man, this Samaritan returned, offer your sincere praise and thanksgiving to the one who truly saves. Say with the psalmist, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." The leprous man, his life is renewed, restored, his fellowship with God is renewed. When we are called by the Lord Jesus and embrace him as our Lord and our Savior, we are renewed. We are reborn. We have a new life. We are rescued from the wretched condition in which we began. Let's pray. Father, I pray that all who hear this story will understand and will take to heart the message of the redemption, the new life, that freedom from the wretched condition that you bring to all who embrace you, Lord Jesus, as their Lord and as their Savior. And I pray, Lord, that we would have truly thankful hearts as this one man did. We pray in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.